As always, we appreciate the word of the Lord, and we appreciate the gift that God has given Bill to express it and to share it with us. So we look forward to that this morning. You ready, Bill?
See.
We'll see. He's ready. Father, thank you for the gift and the anointing you've given Bill to teach. And so not only do we ask you to bless the anointing of the word, we ask you to anoint our hearts to receive it and our wills to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before we do that, Josh, you ready to show some slides? This is a recap of last week. No, not that video clip yet. A family camp last week. For those of you there, these are familiar. Just a few. And if you're not on the Free Grace Facebook page, we posted all the video clips of the baptisms on there. This was the RV site. We had 10 RVs and 5 or 6 tents. This was a kids' pool. Use a lot of time in there in the Gaga pit, which I think is another one. Outdoor kitchen. Great fellowship around food. Two go really good together. This was part of the amazing race. Thank you, especially Janie and Brent. I think she spent 60 hours planning for this event. Let's give her a hand. And you should have seen the competitive spirit in some of those teams. No names will be mentioned. Oh, this is Deanna trying to fish out a balloon with her lips. You could use anything except your hands, and she did awesome. She did this 5 times. She dipped her nose into a bowl. This is Joanna dropping in between her vehicle. And Haley and was that the winning team? Is that what it was? I don't know. No. Second. Oh. Oh wow! It's coming out. You gave yourself away, man. This was on Friday night, time of worship and sharing. Great time. We extended our time of worship. Thank you to Susan, who said we weren't done. And she, in her own words, she busted loose from a different angle. This is a little hard to see, the one before. So there's, you know, one of two dogs, and one of the Clausen's babies was laying all over this dog, and his dog quite went along with that. This was the entry point. This is the kid's story by Megan on Sunday morning. And here's the Gaga pit. Oh, you see some of those shots, you know, pictures. This is Levi, Shalane, Katie, David, Anna, Deb, Ellie, Jacob. So there was 13 people who got water baptized, and was it a good time, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. So our theme this morning is one that you may not have thought of or been really focused on this past week. But we're going there this morning. But I believe it is as important as anything else. It's in the Word of God, and it's miracles. We might want to leave those for somebody else to perform. Or as Cam said, you know, Jesus looks back and says, thank you for being the conduit. So we're going to read out of John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, and then 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11. So in the series of spiritual gifts, this one is available power for miracles. John 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 8, and just a few verses up to 11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now we all, know the Bible mentions many miracles performed by God and his people. But does he still perform miracles today? Have you ever witnessed a miracle taking place? I hope you have, and I hope you've seen multiple. Have you ever been the conduit through whom the miracle took place? And those of you who would say no, my question would be, and why not? Why would you not want to see Jesus glorified through you? Through miracles. Is that a fair question? You know, as Jesus says at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, you know, it's the wise builder and the foolish builder. And the wise builder is the one who took the word of God and acted upon it. They absolutely still happen all over the world today through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, the tendency is to see this particular one of the nine gifts as something that is bigger, more special, like, wow, miracles as one of the spiritual gifts, that it's a bigger deal than the other gifts. That's a lie. Regardless of what category you put it in, let's put them all up here. A word of wisdom is no lesser or greater than miracles. Though you may flow readily in a word of knowledge, it's no greater. It doesn't take any more than miracles. So why do we put miracles in this compartment? Oh, maybe we don't say, but we do. Come on, we do. Or attempted to do so. You know, miracles, like, that's exceptional above all the other ones. It's not. All nine are supernatural gifts. It takes the ministry of Holy Spirit for any one of those to manifest, for anyone to flow through you as God, as he wills. Now, what's the definition of a miracle? So the biblical definition of a miracle would be something like this. It's an event that involves the direct and powerful action of God transcending the ordinary laws of nature and defying common expectations of behavior. For instance, it was a miracle that the sun stood still for 24 hours in Joshua's day. It was a miracle that walls of water could rise and Israelites walk through. It defies the laws of nature, of gravity, and everything else. So that's a miracle. So they are extraordinary occurrences that can only be attributed to the supernatural work of God and demonstrate his involvement in human history. I always love the stories when someone gets miraculously healed and they go back to the medical professionals and they say, well, I got prayed over. I got healed by God. And they don't know what to do with that, because they would have to acknowledge a supernatural event that only God can do. So miracles, or miracle actually in this passage, is the Greek word of dunamis. Hopefully you know what dunamis is. It's a Greek word from which we get dynamite, or it's power. And so we could change the word here. Okay, maybe they'll go down easier. You know, working of power. That's a fair translation in the passage. The Greek word dunamis in the Bible generally means power, force, or ability. But it's supernatural. Now, because of the sense of explosive power in the word dunamis, it's also used to refer to miraculous power or to a miracle itself. Whenever the Bible uses this Greek word, it never refers to our strength or ability, but rather His power through us. This is on the other side of Acts 1:8. This is on the other side of Pentecost. But when Jesus said, "But you shall receive power, you shall receive dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's one of the reasons we want to lay hands on those who were baptized last week. For one, the Bible shows us, but also is for them to receive dunamis. You shall, not you may, or you might, or some of you will, some of you at some point, no, you shall receive power. The Holy Spirit has come, and He's not left. Now, we know that Jesus is our prototype in everything. He is the only one in the Gospels who is our, if I can use it, prototype, post-Pentecost. He had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The disciples did not until after Acts chapter 2. So we can look at Jesus as an example of power in action or power available. So the passage you read was water turned to wine. Some of you have made wine. You know what it takes. Some of you haven't made wine and you still have an idea what it takes. So in the passage it says there were 6 stone water pots, about 20 or 30 gallons apiece. That's a sizable stone container, normally used for washing people, washing their feet or washing clean or their hands for washing. And Jesus noticed they were there and He says, fill them with, kids, with what? With water. Special water, holy water, sanctified water. No, it's water. And then He said, the next instruction was, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And in verse 9, it says, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. Wow. Is that a miracle? Why is it a miracle? How long does it take to make wine? Not very long. Can somebody explain to us how this works? How you put water into empty containers, and instantly you give the command to draw some out, and it's wine. Last time I tried it, that didn't work, Hilda. I know what it takes to start with a raw product. It has to ferment. It's got a bubble. It's got its own yeast, and then it ferments, and the yeast builds up, and you strain it, and you strain it again. You pour it off its lees, and it takes weeks. And a fine winemaker knows exactly how far to go, how far to push. You can add some sugar in it. It gets the yeast going if you want to raise the alcohol content. But it takes weeks before you get a fine product. And apparently wine, right? Wine improves with age if it's a quality wine. But in this case, the wine was better than the one they started with. Now, we Christians, we read it in the Bible and say, well, of course, that makes sense. But you share this with an unbeliever or someone who may not believe the Bible, and what do they do with that? Yeah, right, whatever. Or whatever the response is. It's a supernatural event. Dunamis was released. But how? Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't speak over the water. He simply said, fill it and draw it out. Which raises probably a number of questions, but one is, how did Jesus know what to do and that it would work? What if it didn't work? Could that have entered his mind? No, it didn't. But how did it work? How did he know what to do? You know, his mother, he had not yet performed the public miracle. And we have no record that he had ever done one before either. He had just started his public ministry. How did he know what to do? And the results would be amazing. Are you challenged yet? What's that? He trusted the Father. So how do you know when to respond and to expect results? You name this scenario. Here it's not sickness. It's a wedding feast. Jesus was okay with a good time. They had already well drunk. And he gives them some more. Okay, so maybe it was wine with no alcohol content. No, I don't believe that. You know, we would teach in moderation, right, at best. And some of us would say, don't touch it at all. Why even go there? It's much easier to steer clear of believing in miracles than to go here. Come on. We can read it in our Bibles and we can say, well, yes, that was Jesus. And can he do it again? Yes. Will he do it through you? How would you know? And would you step out? I was at a wedding yesterday, and I don't think they ran out of wine. I mean, there's some homemade wine on the tables, but it's like, what if? How would you know? But the working of miracles is no more supernatural than a word of knowledge or discerning of spirits or any of the others. It's not. Despite how you define it or understand it or explain it or your opinion on it. Now, Jesus performed many miracles, but what he displayed was that the kingdom of God was present. See, that's the key. He knew the kingdom of God was present because he was there. And when the kingdom of God shows up, expect the supernatural. It's that simple. I didn't say easy, but it's that simple. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, which meant the kingdom of God came down to indwell his people and hasn't left, and the kingdom of God is within you, is amongst us here. And yet, we don't see many miracles. And why is that? Because we're leaving for others to do. I want to show you, just in a moment here, Josh, just get ready in a moment. Jesus performed many miracles, displaying the kingdom of God was present. And today we live in a world of spiritual darkness, and it may get darker depending where you are in the world. Now, it isn't about doing miracles, just, you know, people wanted to see signs and wonders, and Jesus did none. But the Bible does say that the message preached was accompanied by signs and wonders. It's encouraging in one aspect to hear that an underground church in Afghanistan is growing times seven. Do you think a desperation would cause them to see signs and wonders? And they hear the message of Jesus and they see miracles performed? We don't know what we're in for here in North America, but spiritual darkness, oh, it's there. So there's opportunity. So I want to show you a video clip, just a two-minute video clip, just to press something home.
Their voice. I was thinking about the Christmas story where the girls, you were passing out the gifts.
The beads.
The beads.
Oh, yeah. That was wild.
And that's another time. See, we have a lot of stories. But I remember studying theology, systematic theology at King's, and a theologian said, God's not Santa Claus. And I thought, no, he's not. He's really not. He's much better. He's much better than Santa Claus. And so we all like to give out gifts. We have 7,000 kids in our care now. So we have a lot of children, plus a lot more in daycare. And so this was a lot of kids at the time. There were over 1,000 at this one gathering, and we didn't have enough toys. And I thought, well, Can even the Western world hear this story? I don't know if some people would even believe it. It breaks your box. But I looked into the eyes of the little girls, and I said, what do you want? And a psychiatrist said, there's stuffed dogs in the bag. I said, well, I don't think they want stuffed dogs. Mm-hmm. And I said to the girls, what is it you want? And they said, we want beads, Mama. And then I told my friend to look in the bag. It was a garbage bag, because often, you know, we just look in the garbage bag and we have to look into the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of the child in front of us. And so I'm looking into the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of the child in front of me. And I asked my friend, look into the bag and pull out what's there. And there were beads in the bag.
Unbelievable.
It was just so wild, because God cares about these things. It's not, you don't need beads. You don't have to have beads. You don't have to have chicken. You could just eat rice and curry and no beads. You could just take your stuffed dog home and be happy. But God the Father cares. Mm-hmm. And He made beads.
And what's...
There were no beads in that bag to start with. And she mentions chicken. All these people had come, and there wasn't enough food, and there was only fish. But the people who came wanted chicken, and everybody got chicken, more than enough. I know it's Mozambique, so God cares. And Heidi was the vehicle. She looked in the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of the child and said, can I check the bag? And there was beads. Another time, Mark chapter 5, I know we didn't read it. A familiar story in verse 25. It tells us of a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. And she had suffered a lot for 12 years. She'd suffered under medical care, the doctors of the day. Nobody could help her. All her funds were depleted. She put all her energy and effort and saving whatever she had into trying to get better, and it says, no, she only got worse. And then verse 27, she comes from behind. He says, if I can only touch the garment of Jesus, I will be well. Verse 28, if only I may touch his clothes. And then it says immediately, her blood flow stopped. I want to take a moment here just to make a distinction. The one we looked at last time was gifts of healing. And this one is working of miracles. What's the difference? Well, the gifts of healing can be more a process. It may be gradual. But a working of miracle is instantaneous. That can be the difference. So when you minister to someone, regarding you, don't be discouraged per se just because you don't see instant change. It could be a healing that is in process that may show up overnight. It may show up weeks down the way. Always expect instant results. But the miracle is the instantaneous growth or development or something. That's the difference. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that power, again, dunamis, had gone out of him. He knew. Now, in water to wine, Jesus acted. Fill it with water. Tell him to take it out. Serve it. Wow. Why would you save the best to last? In this case, Jesus did nothing. Nothing. All it says is he was aware that dunamis had gone out of him. How do you explain that? Now, I know it says in the book of Acts that sometimes if people could just come into the shadow of Peter, they'd get healed. In a way, it's a similar kind of environment, of situation. But power flowed out of Jesus. What's going on? So in the one, he gives instructions, and in this one, he does nothing. Miracles take place. So miracles in the Bible, as I pondered this some weeks ago, I noticed something, and I want to highlight that I think, or contributes to this. Call it a common denominator. Moses saw many miracles. Elijah, many miracles. Elisha wanted a double portion, saw many miracles. Joshua, under his leadership, they saw miracles. Daniel's three friends saw a miracle as they were thrown into fiery furnace. Daniel himself witnessed miracle. He was not eaten by the lions. What's the common denominator? Joshua, Exodus 33:11 says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." If we were to watch the whole clip from Heidi, it's only 9 or 10 minutes. It's an older clip, you may have seen it before. But this is what Heidi says. Fruitfulness flows from intimacy. Moses writes about himself, he was the humblest man that ever lived. Elijah was a man like us, he was, James tells us, but he spoke, he prayed, it didn't rain, and he prayed and it rained. Elisha was a man who walked in intimacy with God. Elisha, same way. Joshua did not leave when Moses went back to the people. He stayed in the tent. Daniel was a man of God. The three men. "Even if the fire takes us, we will not bow down to you." Jesus tells us the answer in John 15. "Abide in me and I in you. I will clip the dead branches. I will boost up the lowing branches so there can be more fruit." Let me read it to you a minute. John 15. Verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." Miracles, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the common denominator. You abide in him and he in you. Whether you give simple instructions or whether someone touches the hem of your garment, the power will flow, because the kingdom of God can flow through you, because there is a temple there that is pure. Oh, not sinless, I know that. That God can work through. You see, the power is in you. No less power in you than there was in Jesus. But it's me that needs to get out of the way so the power can flow. But Jesus doesn't want to do it without you. He just needs the you. I can't even say the old you, because the old you is dead. But he just needs you, your fears, your inhibitions, your whatever it is, to kind of step out of the way so that can flow through you. That's all. Miracles. The Greek word for working of miracles is energema. Energema, which means energy. It is available power. When the portable mic dies, what do we put in? New available power. And if we turn on the button, we got power available and it's going to be there. The available power is in you. And you still might say, "But you know what, miracles, I'm not about miracles. I don't know why I needed to draw necessary attention to myself." But don't be too pious. Don't use it as an excuse as to why you might not believe God would want to work through you. Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And why not through us? Why not through you? Now, there is one aspect, you know, fasting. Fasting doesn't get you power. You know what fasting does? It gets you out of the way so power can flow through. The flesh gets suppressed. Your own desires get suppressed. I haven't done many long fasts, but the last one I did, there was one thing I can testify. It was amazing how sensitive you become to the spiritual and the supernatural. So I would say here in wrapping it up, we are called to you're called to exercise your spiritual gift or your gifts. Apparently, this is what I can't remember who it was that I read this from a few weeks ago, that only 10% of Christians know their spiritual gifts. And of those 10%, only 10% utilize them, which brings it down to 1%. Why? I know. Life can be full, can be difficult. You get your hands full with just you. But the gifts are intended to be a blessing to others for the glory of Jesus' name. I wish I could share your story or two from yesterday, but I won't, because I have been convicted to not share stories to kind of bring my name up. But I will say this, I saw a miracle. If God can use me, he can use you. But you got to step out of the boat. And I know the ones, there's certain gifts we get attracted to, and those are the ones God may want to especially flow through you. But you got to step out of the boat. And you got to be willing to be made a fool for Jesus and actually see the water turn to wine. And the waves hold you up. And a woman's flow of blood stop. And someone's headache disappear. And someone's inability to conceive to be able to conceive. Those are miracles. Or it can be healing. So today, in the Gospels, people were brought to Jesus. Many times Jesus went to others. You know, and you say, well, you know, we bring him to Jesus. So, you know, we'll go to so-and-so because they got this amazing gift of faith. We'll go to so-and-so because the discerning of spirits to get somebody set free. Okay, but why not you? Why not you? You got to answer the question. I think God's asking us this morning, why not you? Why? Because he wants to. Let's spread the need or answering the need. So it's not we got to go 50 kilometers to get help for somebody when you're available. Which gift is working through you? Which gift appeals to you? That's not a sinful question. Why does it appeal to you? Why would you like to be the interpreter of tongues? Why would you like to release and grow in prophecy? Why would you like to flow in a word of wisdom? Could it be the Holy Spirit is nudging you? That's the one he wants to cultivate in you? So why not you? And what will it take for you to step out of the boat? I'm going to borrow Curry Blake's words when he teaches on healing. I know we're not on that this morning. But he said, if you do not implement what I'm teaching you within 72 hours, you likely will never do it. So if I can put a little bit of weight on you, I'm going to encourage you. Say, God, give me the grace, give me the courage to step out. And in the next 72 hours, to look for that person that you want to touch through me. And as Cam said, Jesus looks back and it's like, thanks for participating, because I don't want to do it without you. Because really it comes down to this. Why do you expect the supernatural to be so rare? When it becomes the common practice of stepping out, it will no longer be rare, but common, because the kingdom of heaven has come. Graham, come on up.
That was a nice sermon, Bill.
Nice.
But we got to do something with it, don't we? Within 72 hours. That's very good. I was just thinking, I was in Mozambique twice. I've been to Pemba, where Heidi Baker has a station. She wasn't there. Her husband's sister was there, and her husband, and I got to meet them. And the miracle that they were doing with children, I mean, it was work all the time, but they saw lots of miracles. And it was a joy to be there. And so I think the question is, why not you? That's a very good, why not me? So what hinders us? Number one is lack of faith. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. And number two is prayer. You got to do it. So you have to practice that and do it. We've been praying for Jacqueline, for conception, for Aaron and Jacqueline. We are believing God's going to come through yet. We're not seeing it, but we're not giving up. We prayed last Wednesday. We're going to keep praying because we want to see it. There's some of you who here need miracles of various sorts. And so we want to give you that opportunity. So today, as we close the service, if you have a desire to pray for someone, take the risk. Or if you desire to be prayed for, come and take the risk. Well, up front, we'll pray for you. Now, we also want to take time to, does anyone want to say something before I, because we want to pray for the baptism of the Spirit for those. I just want a thought. Does somebody have a thought stirring them about miracles? Oh, Janie. I hope this is a miracle. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's not.
I said God only if He says. So, you said. I think one of the. I just wanted to actually share a quick personal story of a miracle that took place in my life a number of years ago. I knew I had to go see a doctor, but I really didn't want to go see a doctor. And coming from a small town like Fort McLeod, you get to know the pharmacist kind of one-on-one, and so I thought, you know, I'll just go in and I'll chat with him. And I said, so I chatted with him, and he said, Janie, there's nothing I can do to help you. You have to go see the doctor. You just have to see a doctor. And I felt really discouraged because I was like, that's not what I wanted. And I remember walking out of the pharmacy, and I walked on the sidewalk, and I looked up, and I said, God, you heard him. I need to see a doctor. You said you're the physician, so here I am. And you know, from that moment, I was healed, and it was interesting. This story has come up 3 times now in the last week, and the first time I shared it, I didn't think anything of it. Within a day or two, it was back, and I was like, I realized that the devil was just trying to get his way again there. But sometimes, I guess for myself, I think that the gift or the miracle just in myself was something that caused me to be able to believe it for somebody else too. And so don't be afraid to ask God for that miracle for yourself.
Very good, Janie. Very good, yeah. I remember when I was teaching one of my classes in Belize, my counselor training classes, I was talking to one of my students, I think she was 23, in the process of talking, she said to me, I've only got one breast. I said, well, why? And she said, that's only one that developed. And so the Holy Spirit said, you need to pray for her. And I said, I'm not touching that one. Bad joke. And so I left on the plane on the way home, and the Holy Spirit said, why did you disobey me? I said, I was afraid. So when I got home, I told Sherry about it, and Sherry said, you need to pray for her. So next visit, about a month later, I asked 3 other women and asked her, would you like prayer? She said, well, of course I want prayer. So we prayed for her. Nothing happened at the time, but I knew something had gone out of me. So when I got home, I consulted with the woman who was the leader of the counselor training class there. And she said, well, yeah, she goes to my church, and she's just told me the other week, my breast is developing and growing. Now, that wasn't an instant miracle, but it was a process. And then Sherry and I talked with her another time when we were there, and she said, yeah, it's still growing, developing. I'm becoming a two-breasted woman. Praise the Lord. So God wants to do things, but He needs you, and He needs your faith. He needs you to take the risk of entering in and saying, Lord, it starts with prayer. It starts with faith, and it starts with prayer. And I just say, then do it. Anybody else before we close? Oh, God, all kinds of people. Okay, just hang on a second. All right.
I received healing in my knees October 12th, 2012. And then ever since then, they've been bothering me. And I've asked God, I'm like, I know that my knees are healed, so why are they bothering me? What do I do? He said, use them. So I use them all the time. And I went to work one day and I got on my hands and knees to fix something. And when I got up, I felt a pop in my right knee and it started to swell. I couldn't bend it. It locked. I couldn't walk at all. And I said, okay, God, now what do I do? And he said, use it. So I started walking around and within 4 minutes, the swelling was gone. I could bend my knee and I'm still bending it. So yeah, God is good. And he just wants us to trust him all the time. Even if it comes back, trust him again.
Yeah, how can you pray if your knee doesn't work, eh? Bam. Thanks, Tara. We're raising faith is what we're doing here.
So I have had quite a bit of indigestion problems. It just seemed like all of a sudden, I guess, maybe bad habits of eating and whatever caught up with me. And all of a sudden, I start doing some research and, wow, it's this and it's this and it's this and it's... I thought I was pretty healthy, but all of a sudden it's starting to look like I'm in bad shape and starting feeling like it too. So I've gotten prayed over several times. At our Bible study, a lady asked me once, is there someone here with indigestion? And we didn't even know each other. And so she prayed for me. Here a couple of weekends ago, Bill and Graham prayed for healing. And I don't know if I'd say I'm 100% healed, but in the last few days, it's just way different. Like, not a little bit, but just way different. And so I feel like I'm at least 80% healed. I don't know. But anyway, praise be to God. There were vessels through whom the Holy Spirit and his power could flow. And then also I want to just say with your message, Bill, about miracles, and my wife and I, we've been doing a lot of reading and listening. We signed up for a course, learning more about the kingdom of God. And it's just amazing, absolutely amazing. We have been not a whole lot in the Word and not very active in any kind of spiritual things for many years. There's been church hurts. And here in the last bit, it's just all changing. And all our interests in what they used to be are just fading away. And the interest of the kingdom of God is just growing and growing and growing. And read about the miracles also. And he said that so many people, they will call things miracles that aren't. These are kingdom laws. You just have to believe in them and act in them. This is normal kingdom activity. There are miracles, but those are supernatural. But many of the things that we call miracles are not. You just got to believe in the laws. And we were just so blessed by that.
I see a preacher in there, Dan. I see a preacher in there. Preach it. That's very good. Okay. Alan, you're not in a hurry to go home, are you? It's summer. It's all right. Okay, good.
Thanks, Graham. Some of you know that I've been to the Philippines a lot. Actually, I've been there 32 times, and I'm stuck on grounded right now, so I'm a bit frustrated, but hopefully I'll be back soon. I was in the Philippines, and there was a girl. I knew her very well, actually, because she calls me Daddy. Now, that's not a confession. That's just a lot of what they do when they're very close to someone, and now I'm a spiritual dad, so, because she was filled with the Spirit when I prayed for her. But I knew she had a problem, and she was scheduled for surgery, so I contacted her, and I said, I'm holding a meeting tonight in the university district in Quiapo in Manila. I really want you to come, because I really want to pray for you, because she's very close to my heart, this girl. And she had polyps in her ovary. They were 7/8 of an inch by 5/8 of an inch in size on average, and she was scheduled for surgery on the Monday after the Sunday when I asked her to come to the meeting. So I prayed for her, and it seemed evident that the Holy Spirit touched her. She communicated the next day that she'd been to the hospital, and they did a checkup before the surgery, and they said, they've more than halved in size. They're 3/8 of an inch by 5/8 of an inch, and we're cancelling the surgery. She hadn't had her menstrual cycle for about 7 or 8 months, which I believe was a consequence of these polyps. And soon after that, her cycle was restored to completely normal. Now, that wasn't a miracle, except I believe it was a miracle, but it was a healing miracle, because I believe soon after that they were completely gone. She said no trouble with them since, and I've not heard anything that she needs to have done or anything. So God really does want to use every one of you. I really like what Bill says. You know, we think that miracles are in a league of their own. They're not. It's just a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, God can use you in any one of the nine gifts according to the need and according to your faith. So we just need to step out and be prepared to make a fool of ourselves for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're getting all kinds of sermons here, mini sermons. Way to go, Alan. Thank you. All right, I think we will close, but if there's more of you who want prayer, we will take the time. Now, we do want to pray for those who were baptized, water baptized last weekend. We want to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because that's where the power comes from. And in fact, if you, even if you weren't water baptized and you want us to pray for you, absolutely, we will pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for you, all right, today. So I'm going to close with prayer. You're dismissed. And those of you who want prayer, and especially those who we baptized, water baptized last weekend, you come, because we want to lay hands on you and we want to pray for you. So Father, thank you that we don't have to have an ordinary Christianity. We have a supernatural Christianity, because we have a supernatural God, because the Holy Spirit, you're in us. And all you need from us is a willingness to take the risk of faith, to venture out and to pray. And so, Lord, give us opportunity this week to put this into practice. We don't want to just hear about it. It's really encouraging to hear about it. And we thank you, Father, for the word that was spoken this morning, but we want to do it. So enable us today to walk in a faith, stir our faith, and stir our hearts of obedience to do what you tell us to do. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're released to go in faith and to do miracles. Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, okay. All right. So if you want prayer, especially if you were baptized last weekend, come on up, because we want to pray for you.